Our sermon text this morning comes from Micah chapter 5. We'll read verses 2 through 5a. Micah 5, starting at verse 2. And you can find that on page 914 in the Pew Bible. Hear God's word. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. Amen. You may be seated. And would you please pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that you have been so good to us, that you have given us your Son, you have given us the great ruler and great hope from Bethlehem. And so thank you for this word that many years before foretold the coming of your great Son into the world. And so we pray your blessing on us as we hear the word, as we hear the preaching of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would cause this word to bear fruit, for it to accomplish the thing that you sent it out for. And so bless your people as we lift up the Lord Jesus. I pray that you would draw all peoples to yourself, to the ends of the earth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have a great promise that from Bethlehem would come God's ruler, God's Messiah, and we know him to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so though by the time Christ came, Bethlehem was little. During David's time and Solomon's time, Bethlehem was not considered little. But by the time Jesus came, Bethlehem was almost forgotten. But the thing that gives Bethlehem great significance is that the ruler, the promised ruler, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting to everlasting, that promised ruler would come from Bethlehem. And so though Bethlehem is little, the promised ruler from there is great. And so we have hope, and we are called as God's people to hope in the great ruler from Bethlehem. So I say it again, hope in the great ruler from Bethlehem. And what do we mean by the word hope? I think there's a difference between what the Bible means about hope and what human beings typically think when they say the word hope. And Clarence Haynes helps us distinguish between natural hope and biblical hope. He says, the general consensus from all dictionary definitions is that hope is a feeling or an expectation, a desire or a wish for a certain thing to happen. So hope is in typical human thought, wishful thinking. But Haynes goes on and says, a biblical definition of hope takes it one step further. Hope is an expectation with certainty that God will do what he has said. He says, I hope you can see the difference. One is a wish or desire. The other is a certainty or a guarantee. And so we want to hope in the great ruler from Bethlehem. We expect God to do what he said and send the great ruler, one ruling or having dominion, out of Bethlehem. So be assured, he will do it.
Amen.
And he has done it.
Yes. Amen.
Through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it, and he will do it. And he has done it. That's biblical hope. So let's hope, i.e. expect, to receive great blessings from his rule. What kind of blessings can we hope and expect? Well, one of those blessings is that this great ruler will gather his remnant family. He will gather his remnant family. Verse 3, then the remnant of his brethren, the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And so there's this family, and it's a remnant family. It says in our passage, that the remnant of his brothers shall return to the children of Israel. And again, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term remnant, a remnant is like the last piece of something. And if you like to sew, as my wife enjoys sewing, you might like to go to a place where you can get a remnant of fabric, and you can get it for less than the typical price because it's the last piece and they're trying to get rid of it, but to get something for it. And so they mark it down because it's the last piece. It's the remnant. It's a good deal. So, but God also cares about the remnant, the last bit of his people. And again he says he will bless the remnant. Micah 2:12 says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. So that's where a remnant is able to grow and become big and blessed. Micah 4:7, I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. And then Micah 5:7. Later on in this chapter, then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass. And so the expectation and the blessing of the remnant, it will be fresh and strong like dew. And then Micah 5:8, and the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest. So remnant will be mighty like a lion. And then Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Those are the Micah passages that have remnant six times. He uses that word, so it's a favorite word of Micah from Moresheth. Then Isaiah uses the word, Isaiah 37:31, and the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward, for out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant of those who escape from Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Amen. And so God promises to gather and bless and multiply a remnant, a surviving and valuable small portion of his people. And he promises to do that from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every tongue. Why do I say that? Well, because God's word says it. Revelation chapter 7 and 9. Turn there. Revelation 7, 9. Where it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. Amen. And so God promises to gather his remnant family from every nation, every tribe, every people, every tongue. Hallelujah. Another blessing that we are to hope for in the ruler from Bethlehem, we're to hope for and expect, is that he will shepherd in strength and majesty. Verse 4 from Micah 5, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. The word translated feed is from the Hebrew word for pasture, and it means to shepherd, to tend, and to feed. No wonder one of the names that the Lord Jesus Christ for himself is the Good Shepherd. And so in John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep, which I have, which are not of this flock, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Amen. And so we follow Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. And so husbands, fathers, mothers, teachers, leaders, Jesus is our pattern and our example of what it means to lead. And when we lead, we need to lead sacrificially. And so Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. And so we also ought to lay down our lives for one another. Amen. So follow the good shepherd. And we know that if our life is laid down, just as Jesus' life was laid down to death, his life also was raised up to life. We too also will be raised to new life. So we're united to him in his death, and we're also united to him in his resurrection. Amen. He will shepherd in strength and majesty. He will also bring peace. It says, and this one shall be peace. And so I ask you this morning, do you need peace? Yes. Does the world need peace? Yes. One day a little boy asked his parents, how do wars break out and how are they declared? So the father, who was very learned in economics, started talking about wheat and oil and all the things that divide the world. But the mother, who thought the boy was far too small to understand all this, she said, let me explain it. The mother began to explain, and the father grew angry, and a very great argument developed. The little boy was frightened indeed and held up his hands and cried, stop, stop, now I know how wars begin. But our Lord Jesus, we find from Isaiah 9:6, we find that he is Prince of Peace. And really, Jesus is the personification of peace. And so the Bible also says that he himself is our peace. But then you might ask the question, well, didn't Jesus say, do you suppose that I came to give you peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Well, how do we reconcile that statement and the idea that Jesus is Prince of Peace? Well, we reconcile it by understanding that Jesus' terms of peace are different than the world's terms. His terms of peace are offensive to the natural man. He does bring peace, but not on man's terms. Man who has rebelled against a holy God. Jesus brings peace on God's terms. In other words, repent from sin, rebellion, and self, and trust Christ alone for salvation. This message divides those who will submit to God's terms from those who will not. And so there is peace, but it must be peace on God's terms, and that's the only terms where we'll have true peace. Another answer is he brings peace, but not politically yet. He brings peace internally in the hearts, the lives, and families, and churches fully submitted to his word, his rule, and his spirit. So as we submit to God's word, we will have peace in our hearts, in our lives, in our relationships, as much as it depends on us, and in our churches, as we submit to God's word, his rule, and his spirit. So it's a different peace than we might otherwise want to have in the flesh. And we'll have more to say on peace next week. Next week's sermon is called The Gift of Peace and How to See Christ as the Gift of Peace to a world that desperately needs peace. Amen. Amen. And so this morning, I urge you to hope in the great ruler from Bethlehem. Expect him to gather his remnant family. And one thing about that remnant family is We are that remnant family. And you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he has gathered this remnant family, and he's gathering others to that remnant family. So tell them about the great ruler, so they too can have his peace as well. Amen. Expect him to gather his remnant family. Expect him to shepherd in strength and majesty. Thank God that we have a shepherd, a good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. Thank God that we have a king, the King of Kings. Long live the King. Amen. Amen. Expect him also to bring peace. To bring peace, one heart, life, family, church at a time. And wouldn't it be awesome if hundreds, thousands, and millions of people truly submitted to the Prince of Peace? What a great amount of peace we would have if that were the case. And so, beloved, hope and expect that great ruler from Bethlehem, because he came one time as an infant. He's coming again as a ruler and king. And even now he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we look forward to the time he will come and gather his people to himself and judge the living and the dead. In the meantime, we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for sending the great ruler, the Lord Jesus, from Bethlehem, as you promised. And thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate his coming and his birth. And we also can look forward to his second coming. So I pray, Lord, that we would look for and hasten the coming of that day, that we would be among those who have loved and desired his appearing. And so we agree with the prayer in Scripture, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.